follow, I couldn't do anything. I said, no, this is really happening to me, you know, and I thought, oh my God, I've got to get out. I've got to do something, but there was nothing I could do because I was, they threw the coat around my head and I was just kind of bound because without sight, you can't do anything. So they had me in the car and they took off and they were talking in a code. They wouldn't talk or say a name of anything. They were saying the same words over and over, and it was almost like a code. They were saying DeBlocco this, or they've got to get to DeBlocco, or we've got to get rid of the DeBlocco, or something. They never would mention a name or a place or anything. And thoughts were going through my mind, what are they going to do with me? They've got guns, they mean business, they've got my car, they've got my keys, they've got my wallet, and nobody knows where I am. And I thought, you know, there's no way possible I can get out of this. I said, and we were going down by that lake, and I thought, oh my God, they're going to drive the car off in the lake and I'm going to drown. So I said, we stopped on a railroad track one time and I heard a train whistle, and I said, oh my God, you know, they're going to leave me here and the train's going to hit me, you know, and kill me that way. I said, somehow they're going to kill me and get away with it. And no one will ever know. And it kept on. We rode around for a while. We stopped. They took the tape player out of the car. They took the spare tire out of the car, which they had taken out before they put me inside. They drove on down. I could hear the limbs scraping the side of my car. And I still had the coat wrapped around my head. I had not even taken that off. I was just still in the car. And every once in a while, one of them would holler out, are you okay back there? Or something like that. And I just kind of mumbled a very faint yes, because I was afraid to even talk. And the whole time I was saying, Lord, if you'll get me out of this some way, please. I was just praying my heart out and asking him to get me out of this situation somehow. I told him I'd go to church every Sunday. I didn't know. I didn't care. Just get me out. And so finally, when the car stopped, they got me out of the trunk. And one of them made sure I had the coat still wrapped around my head, and he hit me. He said, he's trying to look, and he hit me with the butt of the gun, and he hit me with his fist. And I didn't know whether they were going to shoot me right then or what. I didn't know what their plans were for me at that moment. I thought, you know, here I am at the mercy of these four blacks with three guns and knives and whatever else they had. And one of them had me by one arm and one of them had me by the other. And they were dragging me in up to the front of the car. And they laid me across the hood for a second. And one of them was holding his hand on the back of my neck so I couldn't move. And then all of a sudden they decided they didn't want me there. So they pulled me off the front of the car and jerked me back and threw me down on the ground. And then one of them had one of his foot on my back and walked over and did something. But anyway. And then they made a few comments and carried on. And then one of them came over and asked me if I had insurance and all this. And he said, let me tell you one thing. He said, these guys mean business. And he said, if you don't do what they say, he says, they're going to kill you. And I just knew that before the night was over, I would probably be dead. But what really got me was after they had locked me back in the trunk and they had left, and I was in that trunk, and I knew there was no way out. And I thought that if I didn't get out within the next day or so, I would die. And that there was no way around it, that no one knew where I was. The car was out in the middle of nowhere. Nobody would be looking for me probably till Wednesday.